Parivyajikacharya Astavutrashita Shishimad Triyanigoswami Khisvangris Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai Iskon Vartmanacharya Vrinda ki jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai Iskon Bhuti Founder Acharya Khisvangris Srila Prabhupada ki jai Prem se kahu Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktarinda ki jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopatina Shri Amakunda Radha Kunda Giri Gavardhan ki jai Matru Dama ki jai Navadvip Dama ki jai Jagannath Puri Dama ki jai Jagannath Swami ki jai Vrindavan Dama ki jai Ganga Mai ki jai Yamuna Mai ki jai Bhakti Devi ki jai Tulasi Maharani ki jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Samaveta Bhaktarinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadaha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mantra Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 12, text 1 Arjuna Uvacha
Arjuna Uvacha
Evam Satata Yuktaha Ye Vaktaha Tvam Paryupasate Ye Cha Api Aksharam Avyaktam Tesham Ke Yoga Vittamaha Arjuna Uvacha Evam satata yuktaye Bhaktastvam paryupasate Yechapyaksharam avyaktam Tesham ke yoga vittamaha
Arjuna Uvacha
Evam satata yuktaye Vaktastvam paryupasate Ye cha pyaksharam avyaktam Tesham ke yoga vittamaha
Arjuna
uvacha Evam satata yuktaye Vaktastvam paryupasate Yecha paksharam avyaktam Tesham ke yoga vittamaha
Arjuna Uvacha
Evam Satata Yuktaye
Evam
Ladies, please. Arjuna said, Evam, thus, Satata, always, Yuktaha, engaged, Ye, those who, Bhaktaha, devotees, Tvam, you, Paryupasate, properly worship, Ye, those who, cha, also, api, again, aksharam, beyond the senses, avyaktam, the unmanifested, tesham, of them, ke, who, yoga vittamaha, the most perfect in knowledge of yoga. Translation. Oh, this is becoming. Thank you. Translation. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect? Those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested. Purport. Krishna has now explained about the personal, the impersonal, and the universal, and has described all kinds of devotees and yogis. Generally, the transcendentalists can be divided into two classes. One is the impersonalist, and the other is the personalist. The personalist devotee engages himself with all energy in the service of the Supreme Lord. The impersonalist also engages himself, not directly in the service of Krishna, but in meditation on the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested. We find in this chapter that of the different processes for realization of the Absolute Truth, Bhakti Yoga, devotional service, is the highest. If one at all desires to have the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he must take to devotional service. Those who worship the Supreme Lord directly by devotional service are called personalists. Those who are engaged themselves in meditation on the impersonal Brahman are called impersonalists. Arjuna is here questioning which position is better. There are different ways to realize the Absolute Truth, but Krishna indicates in this chapter that Bhakti Yoga, or devotional service to Him, is the highest of all. It is the most direct, and it is the easiest means for association with the Godhead. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord explained that the living entity is not the material body. He is a spiritual spark, and the Absolute Truth is the spiritual whole. In the seventh chapter, he spoke of the living entity as being part and parcel of the Supreme Whole, and recommended that he transfer his attention fully to the whole. Then again in the 8th chapter it was said that anyone who thinks of Krishna at the time of quitting his body is at once transferred to the spiritual sky, to the abode of Krishna. And at the end of the 6th chapter, the Lord clearly said that of all yogis, one who always thinks of Krishna within himself is considered the most perfect. So in practically every chapter, the conclusion has been that one should be attached to the personal form of Krishna, for that is the highest spiritual realization. Nevertheless, there are those who are not attached to the personal form of Krishna. They are so firmly detached that even in the preparation of commentaries to Bhagavad Gita, they want to distract other people from Krishna and transfer all devotion to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. They prefer to meditate on the impersonal form of the Absolute Truth, which is beyond the reach of the senses and is not manifest. And so factually there are two classes of transcendentalists. Now Arjuna is trying to settle the question of which process is easier and which of the classes is most perfect. In other words, he is clarifying his own position because he is attached to the personal form of Krishna. He is not attached to the impersonal Brahman. He wants to know whether his position is secure. The impersonal manifestation, either in this material world or in the spiritual world of the Supreme Lord, is a problem for meditation. Actually, one cannot perfectly conceive of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, Arjuna wants to say, what is the use of such a waste of time? Arjuna experienced in the 11th chapter that to be attached to the personal form of Krishna is best because he could thus understand all other forms at the same time and there was no disturbance to his love for Krishna. This important question asked of Krishna by Arjuna will clarify the distinction between the impersonal and personal conceptions of the Absolute Truth. Arjuna uvacha evam satata yukta ye bhaktastvam paryupasate ye cha pyaksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittamaha. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect? Those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? So Krishna is answering to this question, beginning to answer this question in the next verse, in the second verse. And he says, the Supreme Personality of God has said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Now he gives, in the third and fourth chapter, he gives hope also to the impersonalists that later they will achieve him. But we know that later Krishna says that actually it's difficult to give up that conception. So the conclusion of the discussion, which is in the beginning of the second chapter, the 12th chapter, is that this is complicated, this is difficult, and better to give it up. So. And Srila Prabhupada is quite strong at the very beginning. He says, Arjuna is basically asking, what is the use of such a waste of time? to try to worship the unmanifested aspect of the Absolute Truth, or the impersonal aspect of the Absolute Truth, which is all-pervading light. Now, there is an interesting sentence in the purport. Before I start to speak about that, I want to mention that actually Arjuna is asking a lot of excellent questions. The quality of the questions we ask in our lives and of devotees influences the quality of our lives. And actually the quality of our thinking is influenced by the questions we ask, because thinking is usually consisted of questions and answers. We're always questioning something and trying to answer something or ask somebody else to answer it. So Arjuna is asking, we can learn from Arjuna how to ask good questions in our lives, how to ask excellent questions. And we can see that the questions that Arjuna asks clarify things, clarify his position. He wants to know what is best for him. So these kinds of questions are high quality questions. He wants to clarify whether his position is secure. So we all have our reasons why we do what we do and how we live. And we have this ability to justify many things that we do in our mind. We justify, I do this because of this. But ultimately, we believe we will be happy if we do what we do, if we think what we think. We have our own logic and reasoning. And sometimes devotees try to preach to us, but we are very stubborn. We don't listen. Especially when we get good advice and we don't like it, then we have a tendency to reject it because somehow it doesn't appeal to us. But Arjuna is showing how to ask questions with faith, ask Krishna with faith, and he wants to clarify his position. So we also need to ask questions that will clarify our position. Whether my position is secure. I'm living like this, I'm acting like this, I'm serving like this, I'm thinking like this. Is that right? And for that, it's good to have someone that we trust. Somebody that we can go to. And I have an argument with a devotee over the email, and it's a very intense, it's not some kind of a fight, but it's a philosophical discussion about the position of the spiritual master and about the punishment. It's a big issue. People cannot understand how loving God can punish, you know, people so severely, as described in the 26th chapter of the 5th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they try to sometimes undermine Srila Prabhupada's words. And sometimes they think that these are just allegories that are described. And they quote Srila Prabhupada, or quote other acharyas. And I was thinking, okay, so you think like this, I think like this. I try to present Srila Prabhupada's statements on this issue, for example, on the issue of hell. And then I wanted to ask, so who is going to judge who is right? Whether you are right, or I'm right, or what is right? Is there anybody that you and I believe that we can go to? I mean, we are arguing about Srila Prabhupada's books and, you know, things like that. But is there anybody that you and I can go to and listen and say, what do you think? So is there anyone in this world that we trust so much that we can come and say, please, we can come and ask that is what I'm doing good for me? Is the way I'm living is good for me? So you can think for yourself, is there anybody in your life like this? And sometimes I speak with devotees who come to their guru and they go and talk to their spiritual master and come back and they're completely confused. They don't know what to do or how to apply, or they're confused by the instructions they got. And sometimes they don't express themselves very openly or very clearly. That's why guru doesn't seem to be helpful very much for them. So here Arjuna is approaching very humbly. He has faith in Krishna. He believes, you know, he believes in Krishna, he has faith that Krishna will give me a good advice. So it's nice if we can have somebody we can trust and approach like this and to clarify our position, whether our position is stable, whether our position is secure. Are we on the right track, basically? The mind is a miraculous machine. The mind can rationalize. So rationalize means it is telling us rational lies. It's telling us rational lies. And in the Bhagavatam there is so many warnings. It says don't believe the mind. So you may say, well, does it mean I should become mindless? Because I have to think. But Bhagavad Gita says one should carefully control the mind. It is said that as a hunter who catches the animal, he's careful because the animal can run away any second out of control. So it has to be controlled. It has to be, how you say, tightened by the rope. Very carefully and strongly, otherwise it will run away any second. Similarly, the mind, you know, like Bill Gates said, Microsoft is always 2 years from failure. Now, 2 years is a long time, but I was thinking this afternoon that when the mind, in my mind, appeared some thoughts, that basically I am always few seconds from a fall down, few seconds from failure. It can be so quick, and if we are weak, we don't know how to say no to Maya. We say, oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I should check it out. Because the mind says, what do you think of this? And what do you think of that? You know, it's, you know, Vedic. Maybe it's not Krishna conscious, but it's Vedic. Or it's Indian, you know, sometimes Indian is also okay, or something like that. Like you watch an Indian movie, and although it's Bollywood, you think it's okay because it's from India. It has to connection with Krishna, because Krishna had his pastimes in India, and in Bollywood, they also have some pastimes. But they also, I think, do all kinds of nonsense things. So, you know, this is rational lies, rationalize. So now, this thing is very difficult to do if you identify with the mind. Practically every devotee I coach, and they are not psychiatric cases, they have some kind of level of identification with the mind, and this is why they suffer so much. Tortured by the mind. And I said, did you know that you are not a mind? You know, you remember like 100 classes that you have heard? And they say, oh, I know that, but it's hard because I identify. I tend to identify. I think like this. I feel like this. And I will show you something. You see, I mean, you know that this folder doesn't belong. It's not a part of my hand. But if you would see it for the first time in my hand, you wouldn't exactly know if it's a part of the hand or not. You might know that it's one. It's one thing. My hand and the folder, glasses folder. So you would think it's one, but if I do like this, then it's gone. So you see, it wasn't part of the hand. So similarly, we are so attached to our feelings, to our fears, to our doubts, to our frustrations, our anger, and we don't understand that we are not that anger. You can let it go. It's very simple, but it's so hard. Because we identify. I don't know if you watch movies or you have watched movies when you were young, but when you watch a movie, you identify so much with the actors that you start to feel like them. That's me. Wow, he's crying, you are crying. He's laughing, you are laughing. He's winning, you feel good. He's losing, you feel bad. And then sometimes your friend or girlfriend or whoever is with you, they elbow you and say, look, why are you suffering so much? This is just a movie. And then you say, thanks God it's a movie, because it was so hard. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada has come and elbowed us with his books. And said, look, you're not this body, you're not even this mind. You're not this, even your high intelligence that you're proud of. You are the soul which is above the mind, above the intelligence, above the body. And you don't have to identify. You don't have to suffer when the body suffers or when the mind tells you so many things. So this science is described in the Bhagavad Gita. We have a tendency to actually merge the mind with the soul, to make it one. And then this is where the problem starts. Imagine you are chanting Hare Krishna for, I don't know, 20, 30, 50 years, and somebody comes to you and says, you are so ugly. So, if you feel very agitated, if you feel very disturbed, then it means we are still identifying with the body. We got offended. But if we are Krishna conscious, we smile and we say, thank God I'm not this body. You don't see the real me. I'm probably much more beautiful than the form of my body that you can see. So in this way, as the sixth chapter of the Gita describes, the devotee who is in samadhi, he is never shaken. He is never disturbed by any external or internal stimuli. He is very, very stable in his mental strength. So Arjuna is asking wonderful questions which we need to ask. And Krishna is giving answers. And Bhagavad Gita is very basic. Now, regarding impersonalism, we see nowadays in the market there are so many books that speak about goodness, that speak about spirituality, they speak about good vibes, positive energy, positive thinking. And most of these books preach Kingdom of God without God. They speak about the energy. Many people like energy. It is said, Shaktas like Shakti and Bhaktas like Bhakti. Shaktas like Shakti and Bhaktas like Bhakti. So sometimes I speak to people from yoga studios and different other groups, and they say, oh, you have such a good energy. Or sometimes people who can see aura, when they see devotees, they're shocked. Actually, one devotee told me, I forgot, it was recent, that he was banned to attend some kind of a meeting of some kind of a yoga group where he was too shiny with his aura. And they didn't want that. They want something else. I don't know. They want to keep themselves in some kind of darkness. So they actually banned him. They said, you shouldn't come because you are just spoiling our whole program of whatever level we want to be on. And he stopped coming. But he was very enthusiastic to attend because he wanted to learn different things that they were teaching. But he already started chanting Hare Krishna. And they also told him to stop chanting. But he couldn't stop chanting. And he's still chanting, he's still a devotee. They told him, because when he's chanting, then his aura becomes very strong. So we have no idea how much we are immersed already with our own inattentive chanting in the spiritual energy. In Braga, in Portugal, we had this experience. You can see on my Facebook some pictures from that park. We call it, there is a lake there, we call it Govinda Kund. Lake in the park in Braga. It's I think it's near where the football club Braga is practicing. There is playgrounds for training. And we had a Namahata program there, about 30 devotees came. There is family that have 9 children. They're all teenagers now. They came also from north of Spain, I think. And there's a lot of devotees. And one man came from the, it's a bit hilly, so we were, you know, like sitting in near the lake, under the tree. And he came from the, like, slope, from a hill, and he was just completely, stunned. He was looking at us through his sunglasses. And then one of the ladies, our ladies, approached him. He said, sir, how are you doing? I mean, are you want to sit with us, or you... What do you think of our singing? And like this, he said, you know what? When I was coming down the hill, I saw a huge light above this group. I have never seen this before. I think he has seen the light even through his sunglasses. That's amazing. So, devotees actually radiate the effulgence of Brahman. Because the light of the soul is powerful. But we are not interested in that. We are interested in the personal relationship with Krishna. Ultimately, impersonalist will become a devotee if he is practicing really strictly, rigidly, and also if he cultivates more knowledge than he has. But it's actually a very dangerous path. And Mayavadis are more dangerous than impersonalists. Because impersonalists might know that there is a higher realization, but they are attached to the Brahman realization. But Mayavadis are offenders. Mayavadi, Krishnera, Aparadi, they are offenders. So we have to be careful. We have to avoid associating with Mayavadis. And many New Age books actually are written by people who are either Mayavadis or they're highly contaminated with the Mayavadi philosophy. They have very strange concepts. So devotee who is established, who is fixed in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, he will be able to discriminate and he will not read just any books just because they feel good, because they speak about some kind of humanity or humanness, or they speak about goodness, or they speak about feelings, or doing good to others, or about vibes, or about positive energy. Because if you associate with a person who is contaminated with these concepts, then you also get contaminated with these things. It's very subtle. I have seen devotees who read some authors, and then this becomes their new religion. They read some success teachers or New Age teachers, and it becomes their new religion. And they forget about Krishna and devotional service, and they lose faith in Prabhupada's teachings. So therefore, we really need, Srila Prabhupada has invested so much time He didn't sleep so that we can read his books, and we don't read them. We don't read them enough. We are distributing books during the marathon, but how much we are immersed in his teachings, how much we understand all the different aspects of our philosophy. Srila Prabhupada recommended to read his books from all angles of vision, or to try to understand from all angles of vision. So this thematical or topical study is very, very powerful. And Vanipedia facilitates that. I'm working with Vishnumurti Prabhu on trying to expand or, I don't know, improve certain aspects. And if you study one topic very carefully, then devotees have worked for so many years, at least 5 years, I think, worked to compile all kinds of pages with all kinds of quotes and topics. There is Vani quotes also. And then you understand completely about the subject matter. I mentioned in my last class with Srila Prabhupada quotes Bengali saying or proverb, Ardha Kukuti Nyaya. Ardha Kukuti Nyaya means the logic of a headless hen or a headless chicken. That you take some parts of the books and then you, which you like and which support your whatever you want to do, and then you neglect the others. But when you study something from the all angles of vision, you get a very complete picture, and then you don't become attached to the quotes that you like and that support your own point of view or your own sense gratification. But you become very objective and you see the whole picture. And you don't allow your mind to cheat you. So, let's say I invite all of you for a discussion on a certain topic. And then all of you bring your Prabhupada's quotes, your quotes of Srila Prabhupada. And you say, well, Prabhupada said this about this, and what about that? And what about this? Let's say we discuss how should we preach. And you bring quotes where Prabhupada says, the word sadhu means to cut. This is how we should preach. Cut. It's very, you know, powerfully. And tell them the truth into their face. Very strongly. Smash them. Kick them. Prabhupada said, we kick scientists into their face. Then I did a research on the opposite. It says, speak tactfully, tactfully, sensitively, according to the audience, try to present it in an attractive way. So there is both quotes. And if you take only one side, then you don't have a complete picture. Then there is this satyam, priyam, bruyat, that the truth should be spoken very palatably. So, yes, yeah, sometimes we speak like this, carefully, palatably, tactfully, or you can say diplomatically, but sometimes we have to speak like this. And if one is guided by Krishna within, he will know when to speak, in what way. So there is this phenomena in our movement, it's called Prabhupada said. So when you want to support your point of view, you say Prabhupada said this and that. But you are not aware that Prabhupada also said something else. And depending on the time, place, circumstances, also in the books, devotees find something and say, Prabhupada said this in the fifth canto. And then somebody will say, yeah, but he said something else also in the third canto, so how do we understand this? It sounds contradictory. But if you get a whole picture and humbly study the Shastra and pray to the Bhagavatam to reveal itself to you and pray to Guru and Krishna, then you get a complete picture. So what would be the benefit of this kind of study? Personal benefit. For me, it will save me from the cheating tendency. The mind always justifies sense gratification, either subtle or gross. But when you have shastric knowledge in your head, then you will not be able to, you will not allow the mind to cheat. You will have arguments, you will have so many points in your mind, in your intelligence, that the mind cannot pull you to the side of Maya. So we need to read. We need these books. That's why they are created. Why so many books? Srila Prabhupada said, these books are not meant only for distribution, they are meant for you to read. And we think, well, but I already know at least the basics, so why should I mean, I don't have time to read, I have to do service. But actually, we need to read in order to remain in Krishna consciousness, in order to sustain our faith, in order to grow our faith. We need to read for our own purification and for our own salvation. And it's not easy to discipline the mind to sit and read, or even to listen to the class, because the mind wants to do something else, Facebook, or Twitter, or maybe you have a blog, whatever, or chat, any kind of chats, Skype. And nowadays, all these internet tools go with you on your iPhone. Now there is a mini tablet, which is between the phone and the tablet PC, or the iPad, that's the latest from Apple. And you can have there all kinds of chats and communications. And you don't have time to read. And you may say, I try to read actually, but it's boring. I fall asleep. I'm reading and it says, Krishna says the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharvam Parityaja Ipamekam Sharanam Raja. Surrender. I heard that, but what does it mean? I mean, I'm tired and I have eaten a lot of sweets. There was a big cake. And so, maybe tomorrow I will read. Then tomorrow again. So Facebook and internet has replaced reading Prabhupada's books, or hearing his classes, or reading his letters, or reading his conversations. Maybe we have never done it, but maybe we have done it and then we lost. Because it's more interesting to look at the Facebook than in the page of a Prabhupada book. But you can. I have a Facebook page, and I'm quite active, but you can see what I'm doing there. I start to put Prabhupada's quotes there and links to Prabhupada's books or to Vanipedia. So that my friends, I have about 200 and I start recently. You probably have 2,000 friends. But I have a, and I'm also not accepting everyone because some people I don't know, maybe they're dangerous. So 200 friends and they are nice devotees, I know them. I think they want to read, so I provide something. If they read one quote today, that's better than nothing. And maybe they go into a link where they can read more. So if you are attached to looking at the screen, then at least look at the high quality content. And what is a high quality content? Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And you can, you know, you can put them in a nice frame, you can put them with flower garlands around the page. embellish, do whatever you want. But Prabhupada's teachings are saving us. Srila Prabhupada's are saving us. And we actually don't show, I don't know about you, I don't show enough gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. He's saving us. How much I think of him, how much I pay attention to his teachings, this is a big question. So if we miss something in our lives, we miss, sometimes think I'm missing the food from the restaurant in comparison to the temple prasadam. That's one level of missing. Or maybe I'm missing a partner, a nice wife or a husband, or I'm missing a nice accommodation. But one thing that we are missing in our lives is actually a deeper and stronger connection with Krishna's pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. And we are trying hard. I don't know how much you go out and distribute books, but over the years, devotees have been trying hard to give people an opportunity to connect with Srila Prabhupada by distributing books. And they left. They connected others and they left. So they didn't connect themselves strongly enough with Srila Prabhupada. But when we connect with a pure devotee, we feel fulfilled, we feel fulfillment. We feel that I'm connected with Krishna also. That's what we are missing actually, that connection. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither peace nor happiness. That's in the Bhagavad Gita. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness cannot have peace, cannot have happiness. And that's why Bhagavad Gita is the best success book. I studied different success books and I interact with people from the world of success and I sometimes teach. And my angle of study of the Gita was from the point of view of success because it's like a success manual. And success principles described in the Gita are much deeper than any other that you can find in the market. And they are also holistic. They care for the body, mind and soul. But we are the members of this movement. We are aspiring or consider ourselves to be followers of Srila Prabhupada and we are not connected enough with him, with his instructions, with his teachings, and we feel something is missing in my life. If you had have once experienced that you have read and felt deep satisfaction, spiritual pleasure, by permeating your mind with a spiritual protein of the content of Srila Prabhupada's books, then you know what it means. And you know how it feels, and you know that it's great. You know that it's great. When I speak to devotees, they come to me and they say, always something is missing, you know. Always something is missing. And what is missing? So I mentioned a few things that are missing, that we think they are missing at least. But again, my understanding is that we are missing the connection with the pure devotee. That's what is missing. And if we can try to establish that connection through following his instructions and understanding his teachings. It's like chanting. You are chanting and after some time you take it for granted and you chant mechanically. So you come to this moment completely fascinated. And then, after some time, it all becomes routine. And you know, Prabhupada's murti, Prabhupada's books, what Prabhupada said, becomes a routine. Something that we don't pay attention to very much. So, when you chant, you don't pay attention. It's called inattentive chanting. the mind is all over the place or do so many things. So similarly, we are neglecting a person who is standing and waiting to help us. He's offering his teachings, his services, worked so hard physically and spiritually and emotionally to give us this amazing gift of his teachings. Everything has been recorded, everything has been transcribed, or almost everything, and we need it in all the languages of the world. It's not just the business of the BBT. And nowadays, online, you can get, you know, access. I just put this gadget on my blog called Select Language. This means Google will translate whatever I write into 50 languages or 60 languages. Of course, it's not a perfect translation, but at least people can might get some idea. Sometimes it's funny and with the gender and with the case. But still, you know, it's an amazing thing. People tell me, can you translate your articles for me? I said, well, I'm sorry. I mean, I can't do that. But now with technology, and of course, many languages have translated, many countries have translated Prabhupada's books into their language, but we didn't translate lectures, we didn't translate all the letters, we didn't translate all the conversations, and there are amazing instructions there. So you can maybe help with this. You can help. I was translating for 6 years, and it was an amazing experience. Being every day with Srila Prabhupada. Even I had to reduce halava for breakfast because ISKCON breakfast is lunch. It's feast. So I asked Sachandan Swami, when you were translating from German, how did you manage sleepiness? And he said, eat less halava in the morning. Or eat less grains or walk. If you cannot reduce grains, at least have a 1 hour walk to burn it. And then you can translate without falling asleep. But it was a rewarding experience to associate Srila Prabhupada non-stop, every day. And to try to understand him, if you want to translate, you have to understand what he means. So there are so many services and so many languages, and you know, but if you take it as a recommendation that maybe I should try to connect with Srila Prabhupada a little bit more. What did he say about this? What did he say about that? And you can start simply with the topics that you are already interested in. And you go to Vani Quotes, type something. You can, you know, ask devotees to help you, Madan Gopal Prabhu maybe, how to do this, how to search. I'm still learning. And then you enter into a treasure house. Today I told one devotee, he was asking me, what are you doing in Radhesh? How it's going? I said, I feel like I'm a pyramid explorer. I'm approaching a pyramid which is full of treasure, and I have to now find different corridors and rooms and to get all this treasure. Srila Prabhupada's teachings are like this. You can discover amazing things. You can discover things that will really, really impress you and inspire you if you start exploring. The quotes that will maybe change your life. So this is my recommendation. And from Srila Prabhupada's books, there is no doubt that the personal path is better than the impersonal path. If you read Srila Prabhupada's books, you will become a personalist. If you read New Age books, you will probably become impersonalist, and everything will be one, and you know, and Prabhupada will lose his significance in your life. So please don't do this. It's very dangerous. But try to take advantage of the hand, his hand that he is extending towards us, and says, I want to help you. I have come here to help you. I have come here to save you. Please take advantage of me through my vani or instructions. And then, when you feel that connection, your life will change. And you will not be confused anymore about what is to be done, what is not to be done. And you will be very strong and unbreakable and unshakable and enthusiastic and determined. And you will also develop a desire to preach Krishna consciousness and to spread this message. Thank you very much. Do you have any questions? Did you record this? Okay. But you can, it can be downloaded. I tried to download some lectures. You can just listen. Who is the webmaster? Okay. Maybe I can send me the email address. I can ask him if he can help us to download. You can upload? You upload? Huh? Okay. But it can be listened online. Okay. Any questions? Yes. Oh, I didn't. Nobody told me that. I should finish. Oh, sorry. Well, we can finish right now. Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. I didn't know it's 8:15. Sorry.